If you weren't here last week, this wonderful woman of God, blessed, mighty, full of wisdom and power, great anointing, Prophetess Ina Carr.
It's like, okay, no pressure here, right? After all that. Bless you guys this morning. I was just getting warmed up, so like I wasn't ready to stop worshiping. And so can we just raise the hallelujah? Can we just do that again? Hallelujah! Hallelujah, King Jesus! Hallelujah, King Jesus! Hallelujah to our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords! Oh, we raise a hallelujah, Father! Father God, we're getting louder! We're getting louder with our praises! For you are worthy, oh Lord, of all that we can give you, Lord, and so much more! Oh, Father, we raise a hallelujah! We raise a hallelujah to our King of Glory this morning! We raise a hallelujah for what you've done and for what you're doing! Oh, Father, we raise a hallelujah for your faithfulness, Lord God! We raise a hallelujah, Lord God, for such a time as this, Lord God! We bow before you this morning, Lord God, a grateful people, Lord God! Oh, Father, we bless you this morning! We bless you this morning! We bless our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. Father, we thank you that we are here, Lord God, for such a time as this. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we just come to receive, Father God, all that you have for us, Father. We thank you, Father, this morning that we have the ears to hear, we have the eyes to see, and the hearts to receive. We thank you, Father God, that we were created in your image, Lord God, and that, Father God, we are here, Lord God, as your remnant, for such a time as this, Lord God. We thank you, Father God, that you've called each of us, Lord God, for such a time as this, Lord God. Oh, Father, we bind back any hindrance now, Lord God, any distraction, Lord God, that would keep us from hearing and receiving your word today, Lord God. Oh, Father God, we break any mindset, Lord God. We bind it back, Lord God. Any limitations that have come in our life that we've allowed, Lord God, that we may not even know about, where we've limited you, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name. Oh, Father God, we break off this house, Lord God, this people, Lord God, any conformity, Lord God, that we've gotten into from what's taken place in the world, where we've been conformed, Lord God, dumbed down, Lord God, and we forgot who we are, that we are the children of the Most High God, that we are children of the Kingdom of God, that we're in this world, but we don't live by this world, Lord God. We live by your kingdom rules, Lord God. So any area of conformity, Lord God, any area of fear, any area in our lives that's diminished the greatness of you, Lord God, the power of you, Lord God, we break it, we bind it back, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Oh, we bless you, Father. We bless you this morning, Lord. Oh, Father, we bless you. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We praise you, Lord God. We adore you, Lord God. We worship you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Where you're bringing us to, Lord God. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, we just wait on you this morning, Lord. We wait upon you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For you are worthy. You are worthy, O Lord. You are worthy of our praise, Lord God. You are worthy, O Lord. You are worthy, O Lord. Oh, Father, we boast in you. We boast in you this morning, the goodness of you, the greatness of you, the awesomeness of you, the faithfulness of you, the kindness of you. The righteousness of you, Lord God, the justice of you. We boast in you this morning, Lord God. We boast in you and we boast in you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you that you're bringing our praises up higher. Father God, that our praises are going to be exuberant. because we serve an exuberant king. That our praises are going to be triumphant, greater than ever before, because we serve a triumphant king. We thank you for that, Lord God, in your precious mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, I'm not quite sure how I got over there, but we thank, you know, the Lord for all that he's doing. And you know, the praises of God have got to get higher. They've got to get louder. They've got to get greater. You've got to engage body, soul, and spirit at this time, at this hour, because he's worthy, because the time demands it. And you know, when I kept hearing that word exuberant praise from the Lord, and that's where he's bringing the church. An exuberant praise is uninhibitedly enthusiastic. So, you know, for those of you who don't, you know, I don't want to make a scene. I don't want to cause a distraction. You know, I don't want to do anything out of the flesh. Well, let me tell you, if you want to be in alignment with what God's doing, you're going to have to yield to the Spirit of the living God, because the Spirit of the living God wants to praise more than you do, more than your flesh ever could. So let the Spirit of the living God teach us and show us, and let us yield to the Spirit of the God what he's doing in this day and in this hour. We need the exuberant praise. That song, Hallelujah, you know, I don't know if all of you know where that song, how that song was written about, but, you know, a young boy was sick, a young child was sick, and wasn't expected to leave and live, and the church had been praying for him and had been in the hospital, critical condition for a while, and they'd gotten a report in that the doctors were saying that he wasn't going to live through the night. This little child was not going to live through the night. And so the man and wife who wrote the song, you know, the man said, you know, I got in fear. I seen the giant of death before that little boy, and I got in fear. But what did God say to him? Raise a hallelujah. Raise a hallelujah. That's what God told him to do. Raise a hallelujah. So when fear comes, when the enemy comes and lies and says, hey, there's no hope, gonna die, give it up, time to go home, raise a hallelujah. And our hallelujah needs to be louder than ever in this day and in this hour with what God's doing and where God's taking us to. We're in the time of hallel praise. And that describes of that. I'm just going to go there. I thank you, Sylvia, for talking a little bit about the praise this morning. Because God's bringing us to a higher level. We're talking about coming up higher. And we've got to come up to a higher level of praise. Because he's worthy. The times demand it. We're coming to a revelation of such of the greatness of our God that our praise is going to grow higher just because we were even more aware of the goodness, of the greatness of him, of the awesomeness of him. I remember walking one morning and I said, oh Lord, I thank you for your awesome awesomeness. And I chuckled and I said, Lord, I've never said that before, your awesome awesomeness. And the Lord said, oh, you haven't seen anything of my awesomeness yet. And we haven't, but we are. We're in those times for such a time as this. And so we're in that place of bringing him high praises. And so that word, high praises, means hallel. And that word means to be clear. It's usually of sound. So our sound is going to be very clear. It also can be of color. And so, you know, people who are praising, people who are passionate, you know what? They are colorful people. And I don't care what anyone else thinks about my praise, because I'm not here for them. I'm here for God. And guess what? My praise doesn't start here in the church. It starts at home. So I don't come here and do anything that I'm not already doing at home. And I'm probably even louder at home. I'm glad I live out in the country. My husband can, you know, tell you that, you know, he's heard me. So that word high praise is that word hallel. It means to shine, hence to make a show, to boast. So my praises, I've got to be showing. I've got to be shining. It's something other people are going to be aware of if I'm in hallel praise. You understand? I'm not standing here stiff, you know, No, all the way up, Lord, because you are worthy, Lord. We come to that place. It means to be clamorously foolish. That's what it means. If you look up high praises in the Hebrew, that is what this word means. To rage, to celebrate, to glory, to give light. And in a dark world, we are the ones to give light. Amen. So we've got to get our praise on and allow the Holy Spirit to teach us. We've got to yield to the Holy Spirit. And so that scripture comes of high praises comes from Psalm 149. Let them praise his name with a dance. You're going to learn some new moves, how to move your feet. Dance means dance. Let them sing praises to him with the timbrel and harp. I'm ready for more instruments to be used in worshiping God. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people who will beautify the humble with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Sing aloud on your beds. I do. Try it sometime. Let the high praises, so that word high praises means hallel, what I just gave you the definition of, be in their mouth. We're in the decade of the mouth, correct? Yes. Right. And so in this time where the enemy's trying to shut your mouth, where the enemy's trying to hide your mouth, take away your breath, the high praises of God are to be in our mouth and a two-edged sword in our hand. And then it tells us why we need to have those high praises. To execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. To execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all the saints. Now, how does it say we can do that? Through hallel, high praise. High praise. And if you look up the word boast in the scriptures that said, I will boast and nothing less, you know, I boast in God, that word also, boast means hallel. Same thing. We're coming to a time where we are going to boast as never before in the greatness and the goodness of our God. So, Father, we thank you that you're giving us a higher revelation, a higher understanding, Lord God, of your word for such a time as this. Thank you, Lord. Cindy, is it okay if I shift this little thing over to this side? This little, thank you. Because I'm going to open up my, I better get to my notes, right? Otherwise, we'll be running out of time. So last week, we talked about Jeremiah 33:3. I'm not going to go back over everything, but if anybody wasn't here, and Jeremiah 33 says, call unto me. This word was given to Jeremiah the prophet for such a time as then, for such a time as now. Jeremiah had been locked up in the prison. He was shut up, not because of anything he did. He spoke truth. No one wanted to hear his truth, not the king, not the people, because they wanted to continue to live their life the way they wanted to live it. So they shut him up, locked him up, put him in the prison. And at that time, the Lord came to him and said, Jeremiah, call unto me, call unto me, and I will answer you. So first our part, we have to call. And I hope during this last week that you went home and meditated on that word. I hope that you spent time. Lord, what does that mean to me? Calling unto you. Because I will answer you. Now, if you don't call, he's not answering. We have to meet that requirement. And then what does he say? He gives us a promise. And I will show you great and mighty things of which you do not know. That word mighty means inaccessible. Before they were inaccessible. Okay? That word in the Hebrew means that they were inaccessible before. And that means they were inaccessible by height or fortification. So if the height of something is keeping something inaccessible, then what do we have to do? We have to come up higher. And that's where this title of our message comes from, is come up higher. And then I stand and see the salvation of our God. Because you can't stand and see the salvation of our God. You can't stand without coming up higher. And we are living in those days that we have to. God is saying, I've got things to show you that have not been accessible before. But if you come up to higher, if you call unto me, guess what? I will make those things accessible to you. He's wanting us to see them. He's wanting us to know them. And he wanted Jeremiah the prophet to know, because they were living in a time of gross sin, of captivity. Their children would be sacrificed to Moloch. our children in this nation and the nations of the world have been offered to the same God. Behind abortion is the same God. It's Moloch. That's what that is all about. God is not going to continue to stand and allow that to happen. And we have to be where he's at. There should be such a righteous indignation within us. Not an anger, a righteous anger, but a righteous indignation within us. To make sure that we're in alignment with what God's doing, with what God's saying, so that we are saying and doing what we see him doing. Not saying things that we shouldn't, but what he is saying. Not agreeing with what the world is saying. Not coming into conformity with what the latest news or the latest science or this and that, but what God says. Amen. That's what they're saying, God. What are you saying? Because your authority is higher. Yours is the highest. I don't care what everybody else is doing in the block. I don't care what everybody else is doing, even in the church, in that regard. If God says this, I'm not going to say, well, sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so, and they're doing this, I should do this too because, you know, they know more than I. No, I'm going to do what God says to do. And you know what? We can always have confirmation through the Spirit and with the leaders that God has set above us, right? So that we're in that place. In fact, that's the pattern that God sets for us at that time. And so remember that he said to Jeremiah, he said, behold, Jeremiah, after he said, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things of which you do not know. There was a behold, and there's a behold coming for this nation. And because there's a behold for this nation, there's a behold for the nations of the world. Amen. There's a behold for us. There's a behold for you personally. There's a behold before us as a body of believers. Thank you, Lord. So what he said to Jeremiah is, let me find here. I will bring it health and healing. I will heal them and reveal to them the abundance and peace and truth. And God's got a great behold for us for such a time as this. And we're going to be that people that are going to behold what he's doing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I want to share with you, tomorrow's March 15th, okay? So March 15th of last year was when our church closed for a few weeks. So that was kind of at the height of things, coming, and they were recommending everybody stay home. Remember? Stay home. Yeah. Stay home. And unfortunately, we got a lot of people staying home. They're using that as their excuse to stay home and not come to church. Now, they're still going out to eat and shopping, but they're not coming to church because I was told to stay home. But do you understand the indoctrination of those words of what they were trying to do? Okay? The far radicals of the left are trying to destroy this nation so they can rebuild it the way they want. That is the purpose of all of this. And so the Lord gave us a word, and I'm going to read that to you. On that day. So it was at the end of, the pastor got done preaching, we were talking a little bit. We weren't saying that we were shutting down at that time, but we were just talking about what was taking place that was part of the word and so forth. And one of the things was, you know, God did not cause COVID. You understand that? Okay, God does not cause sickness and disease. He did not cause COVID, okay? And so at the end of the message, I felt the Lord stirring in my spirit. And, I went forward and I spoke in tongues, and then I interpreted that, okay? And so this was the word. This was last March, 15, 2020. And I say unto you that I am revving up my church, for my church, my true church, and carriers of my resurrection power and of my glory, says the Lord. And the Lord says, no, I did not cause this, but I will use it for my glory, says the Lord. For it is time for the power of me to be demonstrated in and through my people, says the Lord. The Lord says, you are carriers of my blood. You are carriers of my power. You are carriers of everything that I accomplished. This is the time I am amping up, that I am revving up. So this is not a time to draw back, but to go and move forward, knowing that I have sent you and that you are well able as you keep your eyes focused on me. This is at a time when he knew what was coming. He knew the churches, a lot of them were going to close, and that they were telling you to stay home. But we have to come up higher, and God was trying to bring us up higher through his word at that time. Hey, I am revving up and amping up the church. We were at a great momentum, this nation was, God's people were, the church was, we knowing an awakening was coming, okay, before COVID-19. And you remember in Nehemiah, when they were building the wall, and the enemies, we'll say, came and were giving them all kinds of reports, trying to distract them to get them to come down from the wall, okay? And Nehemiah said, you know, we're, even a prophet was sent to them, but he knew he was lying, right? And even, and so, you know, they were trying to get the people distracted, people in fear by all these reports that they were saying about him, lies they were saying about him, and to agree with them, stop building the wall. Nehemiah is a picture of intercession, what the power of intercession, what the power of our prayers do in the world. That's what Nehemiah is. It's a book of intercession, because we're not physically building walls, but when we are in agreement with God, when we are in the part of intercession, in alignment with what he would have us to pray for, we are building and tearing down what needs to be torn down. That's what our prayers do. That's the importance. So, let's silence this church. Let's silence this people. Let's bring in fear. Let's take away their hope. Let's deplete their faith with all the lies, with all the things of the enemy, the things of the world. Let's dumb them down so they will stop this momentum that God's got them in, because Satan had a momentum as well. So that is the, was the plan of the enemy. And a lot has fallen for that. A lot has, you know, we're picking ourselves back up now and saying, hey, I'm not, no more there. I'm not there anymore. And but Nehemiah did not come off the wall. He said, no, you know, why should, we are doing a great work here. God is doing a great work here in each of us, in each of us individually, and each of us as a church, the remnant church. He is doing a great work, and he is saying it is time to rev up and amp up. He was saying it a year ago. He's still saying it today. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Not to draw back, but to move forward. And we know some churches never shut down, and we know some of them got a lot of flack. And some of them were from brothers and sisters in the Lord. But see, they had a different spirit, because they were churches that go into other countries and they lay hands on people with leprosy. Right. Rodney Howard Brown, he got a lot of flack. Okay, will you do what Rodney Howard Brown does for the Lord, and maybe then you have something to say? But until you do, we need to keep our mouth shut. There was no way he was going to stop or close his building down, because he knows the power of God, and he knows his people needed to be in church. They had a right either to come or to not. They could wear a mask or they didn't have to wear a mask. But I was so disgusted, upset by what other brothers and sisters were saying about him. Someone raises the dead. Someone goes and prays with people with Ebola. They're not going to bow to COVID. This is the time that your feet must be firmly planted in my house with me, says the Lord. So I'm continuing on with the word that the Lord gave us at our house a year ago. For this is troublesome time, says the Lord. But if your eye is on me, not on me in the world, on me, your focus is on me. If your feet are firmly grounded and planted, firmly standing in my word, says the Lord, then you watch and see what I will do. For the finest hour of my church, of my people, is ahead, not behind, says the Lord. Yeah. That was a year ago. And so we've got time to make up, but the good news is, with God we can. And I think there was a lot of inner work that God was doing on the inside of us. For those of us who went before him, and you know, how do I stand, Lord? Am I willing to really, you know, lay hands on those, you know, who have COVID? Am I really willing to go up, you know, face and, you know, pray? How far am I willing to go, Lord, with this? And circumstances don't change God's word. They don't change his call upon our lives. They don't change the doctrines of Christ. So, you know, the word revving up and amping up, okay, that's not my words. And so I had to look those words up, okay? So revving means to accelerate sharply. Remember, this is what God said he was doing to the church a year ago. Revving means to accelerate sharply, the speed of an internal combustion. God is stirring up and accelerating sharply within us. And we should be able to feel that. We should feel frustration because, you know, that frustration, what it is about, I ain't staying here anymore. I'm not sitting here anymore. I'm getting up and I'm moving. I'm going and doing what I'm called to do. I'm going to be who I'm called to be. And no one is going to stop me. It means to make more energetic. That's what revving up means. It means to make effective, to be stirred up. You know, and one thing I'll tell you, that we over and over and over again in our house, what we have heard is just, you know, you need to pray in the Spirit. A lot of our prayer meetings have just been praying in the Spirit for 90% of the time that we've been there. Why? It builds yourself up in your most holy faith. It's a language of the kingdom. You're in complete alignment, complete agreement with God. So you don't get your mouth in trouble by saying things that you shouldn't say. I can't emphasize how important it is to pray in the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Some synonyms for revving up is to fire up, to instigate, to launch, to roar. Man, do you feel the Lion of Judah roaring within you? It means to quicken. It means gaining momentum. And so what the enemy meant for evil, we're coming back double time. Double for the trouble. Double momentum. And then that word rev also is short for revolution. I like this. Listen to this. The word rev, see, you say revving us up. That word rev is short for revolution, which is the overthrow and replacement of an established government or political system by the people governed. Now, that's what the enemy is trying to do. Okay? But guess what? We're going to have a Jesus revolution. I love that. So it's a sudden, complete, radical change. And I tell you, God's got a lot of planned suddenlies. They're going to be suddenly to us, but not to God, because they're planned. And he's saying, come up higher so you can see what I'm doing, so you can declare it, so you can speak it, so hope can arise, so your light can shine, so your faith can be built back up, because we are in the place of double momentum. Amping up. That word amp means to relates to amperage, which is the strength of an electric current. God is strengthening us. You know, I told you that Isaiah 40, you know, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. He is strengthening his body to those who are willing and will allow him as never before. We thank you, Father, that the church is being strengthened, Lord, that I'm being strengthened. Can you say that? Lord, I thank you that I am being amped up, that I am being revved up. Lord knows I need it. Thank you that you're strengthening me, and I am coming up higher, and I am being all that you've called me to be for such a time as this. Thank you, Lord. It also means to excite or energize, to stimulate, to intensify. So amping up something causes a modification of something, a change of mind. Boy, do we need a change of mind. And that's what God's trying to do, to have us come up higher, We've got a higher way of thinking, a higher way of, it's a higher way of thinking, it's a higher way of acting, it's a higher way of believing, because as your thoughts go, so your actions go, right? So if I need to come up higher, it's because he's trying to get our thinking higher, okay, our faith level higher, I'm going to believe higher, I'm going to act at a higher level of faith, and if I'm believing higher, guess what? I'm living higher. We are here to live the good life in the midst of whatever comes our way. Amen. To those who are willing and obedient, they shall eat the good of the land. And that didn't say if this isn't happening and if this isn't going on, right? So it causes a modification of something, a change of mind, a change of thinking, as to increase its capacity to perform. So the purpose of it is to increase our capacity to perform. And it's time for the church to perform. Amen. To do the acts. The greater acts than these. Greater things shall we do than what they did. Right? Do you remember what we closed the service last Sunday with? What Jace, we sang, the last song. Waymaker, remember? So one Sunday, it's probably been over a year, maybe a year and a half ago, we were singing that. And the Lord said to me, as I'm worshiping him, I call you Waymaker. I call you Miracle Worker. And I said to him, and I knew he was wanting me to go and give a word forth. And I said, Lord, isn't that sacrilegious? And he said, no. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. And so I sat there and I pondered on it. And come up higher, Ina. Come up, people of God. We got to see ourselves as God sees us. He is the way maker, and he is the miracle worker. He is the promise keeper. He is the light in the darkness. But what he was saying to us that morning, and I went up and gave that word, I call you way makers. I call you miracle workers. I call you light in the darkness. I call you promise representers. That's what God says about us. That's how he sees us. We've got to come up higher so that we see ourselves as he sees us and be the people of God that we've been created to be. Amen. We are in the time of the acts, and it's time for us to act. Man, are you not excited? Are you not expected? Signs, wonders, and miracles. Man, I'm believing for body parts. And I just, you know, and I got a revelation, you know, a couple Tuesdays ago in a prayer meeting. One of the other ladies, she was, you know, praying and said something. And man, it clicked me. And I just thought, wow, Lord. Yeah, body parts. And I thought, because I don't know about you, but my heart is broken over these ones who are so deceived by the enemy that they're having body parts removed. Because they no longer think they're a female and they want to be a male, and the male wants to be a female because of the lie and the deception of the enemy. Well, you know what? And that's permanent, so they say, right? I mean, if you have your breast removed as a woman, that is taking place because of the destructionness of the deception of the evilness of Satan. And my heart goes out to them. My heart goes out to them. I don't judge them. My heart goes out to them. God loves them. And guess what? God has an answer for them. And his light is going to dawn. And his love is going to be poured out upon them. And they're going to see in a suddenly, a plan suddenly, as we pray and as we stand for those and for our loved ones, all the things they're going through. We're going to see a plan suddenly take place. And they're going to know that they've been deceived. And oh man, are they going to be some righteous warriors when they come out of that place. But guess what? We don't have to say you have to stay that way. I believe God can give them new body parts. Amen. I believe that. I believe that. God help us to believe that. Let the expectation arise in your people. You're calling us higher, Lord. You're calling us higher. We got to come higher. Than the death, than the destruction, than the lies of the enemy. Yes. He is God. Yes. He is the great I am. Is there anything too difficult for him?
No. So,
What is God saying now? This is for this March of 2021. Guess what? My plans and my purposes have not changed, says the Lord. I'm not wavering. People of God, stop wavering. Stop wavering between two different opinions. Don't falter. If God be God, if I am God, says God, then take your stand. Amen. Take your stand. Amen. And stand still and see my salvation. But you know, when he told the people in Egypt, when they come out and they were at the Red Sea, stand and see the salvation of me is what Moses told the people. Stand and still and see the salvation of God. They didn't just stand there, did they? They had to act. Moses had to take the rod. He had to take the authority, which represents the authority that God had given him. Why do you cry out to me? He said, take the rod, the authority that I've given you, and hold it up over the sea. And he said, move forward. So on one hand, he said, stand still. But he said, move forward. We are at a Red Sea time. But we are moving forward. We can't just stand. Well, I'm waiting. When he acts, then I will move forward. No, God doesn't act until we do what we're supposed to do. That's just the way it is. We work with him. We co-labor with him. The man with the withered hand, stretch out your hand. It didn't become whole and well until he acted. It's time for my people to act, says the Lord, because my plans and my purposes haven't changed. I am not a man that I should lie, nor a son of man that I should change my mind. For what I have said, so will I perform. My arm is not too short, says the Lord. What I have purpose will come to pass, for there is no demon that can stop what I'm doing. There is no plot or plan of man that can stop what God is doing, what he purposes. Remember, he is a defeated foe. This is what God's word says. I have already won the victory. Has he? You know, it's interesting. I've been hearing that song a lot. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming love. Victory in Jesus. So when I hear that, I sing that because I align with what I see or I hear him doing, okay? Sometimes I'll turn it on and I'll listen to it and I'll sing along with it, but I sing that song. And the other day I was singing that song again and I felt prompted by the Lord, you know, I know, look and see when that song was written. So I did. 1939. I know, look and see what was taking place in 1939. So this man wrote the song about victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. That beautiful song that's, you know, for today, okay, not just back then. But guess what? It was during World War I. It was the start of World War I when that song was written. Everything is about perspective. And so we have the victory. And so this is what God says. I have already won the victory. Therefore, go forward from my place of victory. Do not give credence to other voices. For my sheep hear and know my voice and follow me. In a time where deception is rampant, take heed how you hear, what you hear, and what you see. Remember, my wisdom and knowledge is your stability for these times. What is our stability for these times? His wisdom and his knowledge. I have to come up higher. Do not allow yourself to become double-minded, thereby rendering you unstable. Isn't that what God's word says in James? That if we become double-minded, we become unstable, what? In all our ways. Father God, if there's any instability in me because I've come to double-minded in any way, shape, or form, through fear, through lies, through listening, taking heed to the wrong thing, Father God, I repent of that in Jesus' mighty name. I repent of it, Lord. And I thank you, Father God, that you hear me when I pray. And I thank you, Father God, that you forgive me And I thank you, Father God, that I am aligning with you, that I am calling unto you, Lord. I'm calling unto you, and I thank you that you are answering me, Lord. And I am coming up higher, that you are showing me those great and mighty things of which you want me to know for such a time as this. Yes, they've been inaccessible before, but now as I come up higher, I will be able to see and have an understanding and see in a new way. Have a different perspective. Your perspective, Lord God. Your true perspective, Lord God. Because if I don't have your perspective, then I'm in error. Right, that's true. And then I'm acting in error. Yes. I'm aligning with error. So I have to have his true perspective. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. We're in dangerous times. It is dangerous not to heed the word of the Lord. And then he said this, my truth is marching on, my sword is drawn, and the world will see my display of my great power. Come up higher and see, come up higher and act. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, 1 Corinthians 2, 9-10, but as it is written, I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. That which was veiled or hidden, that's what that means, revealed. So something that was hidden before or veiled, that now it suddenly becomes visible and clear to the mind, clear to the eye. That's the time that we're living in. And I read that scripture before. See if I can find it quickly here. Last week. About that we are the people that see and our ears that hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you heard and did not hear it. We are those people that God is saying are in these times that we're going to see and we're going to hear. Our minds are going to be blown. Our spirits won't, but our minds. Oh, exuberant, triumphant praise is going to come from the people of God. In the mighty name of Jesus. It's the day of his power, and his word says, my people will be willing in the day of my power. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's see here. You know, I want to share a few testimonies with you. I want to go back real quick and let me make sure that I'm not, because there were some scriptures that I missed last time, and I just want to see if there's anything else that clicks that I need to read to you. I do want to read. I'm going to go back in my notes here. Excuse me. Okay. I wanted to read this scripture to you. I got a couple quotes here. Let me do that to you. Rick Renner. Y'all know Rick Renner? Yes. Mighty man of God. Never forget that bringing people higher is one of the primary goals of a leader. We're all leaders, right? Bringing a people higher is one of the primary goals of a leader. And guess what? Jesus was who? He was the supreme leader. He is the supreme leader. He is the supreme leader. Our ultimate example, he was a reproducer, and we are created in his image to do the same. Thank you, Lord. In Colossians 3, 1 through 3, this kind of goes along with the prophetic word. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. I don't think it's going to be easier to do that because of the things that are going on in the world. But it will be easier for us to do that if we yield to the Spirit of the living God and not our flesh. And if we take heed what we hear and what we see. Because things are going to get harder in the world. But we're coming up higher. We're being revved up. We're being amped up. We're being strengthened. We're being set on fire for God. and his purposes, that we will be able to keep our eyes on things above. I wanted to read that same scripture of Colossians 3, 1 through 3 in the Passion Translation. Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. This is why we are to yearn for all that is above, for that's where Christ sits enthroned at the place of all power, honor, and authority. Yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. Your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life, and now your true life is hidden away in God and Christ. And as Christ himself is seen for who he really is, who you really are will also be revealed. And that's the thing, as we get a greater revelation and see him high and lifted up, we get a greater revelation of him, we get a greater revelation of ourselves and who we are, because as he is, so we are in this world. And I was created in his image. We have to come up higher. You know, this is things that you've all heard before, but it's got to get out of your head and it's got to get into your heart. It's got to get into a way of living. It's our everyday to day life. This is who we are. This is who we were created for, what we were created for. I wanted to give you a couple of testimonies that I felt like the Lord wanted me to share of him bringing me up higher for such a time as this. Thank you, Lord. Let's see here. I'm trying to have my notes so that I can stay on time, hopefully. Thank you, Lord. So this happened years and years ago, okay? And the Lord sings over me a lot. And, you know, is that scriptural? Yeah, he sings over us with songs of deliverance, correct? And I don't know about you, but I need deliverance and ongoing deliverance, okay? Because I'm human and I live in this world and I got a fleshly body and so do you all, right? And so he sings a lot over me. And so I woke up that morning and I heard him singing, I'm the great I am. The great I am. And so, like I said, when you hear something, when you see something, you're to align with that. You partner with God in that. So I start singing that back. The great I am. The great I am. Holy, holy, God Almighty, the great I am. And I started singing that. And I kept, you know, getting louder with it and louder with it. And I'm getting ready to go somewhere that morning, but I had quite a bit of time. So in the midst of, you know, my busyness of the morning, I just kept singing. And then I went and got my iPad and I turned it on. It's an old Phillips Craig Indeed song. You know, I heard him click to see what it was, you know, and it's not a song that we sang at our church. So, but I'm familiar with it. And, but it wasn't loud enough. I couldn't crank it. I was just like, it's got to get louder. You know, the great I am. He's the great I am. It's got to get louder. It's just like there was passion that I was hearing. And the Lord was, you know, it needs to come up higher. And it was like, man, they're not even singing it with the right passion. They're not singing it, you know, loud enough for me. And, I didn't have one of those speakers to make it go, you know, louder. But so I just turned that off. But, you know, the words to that song are, the mountains shake before him, the demons run and flee, at the mention of the name, King of Majesty. There is no power in hell, or any who can stand before the power and the presence of the great I am. The great I am, the great I am. Holy, holy, God Almighty, the great I am. And so I got to that place where I was just singing, the great I am, the great I am. The great I am, holy, holy, the great I am. And I was getting louder and louder and louder and louder with it. And I know the Spirit was carrying me along with it. And I was getting louder and louder with it and singing it. And I could feel the passion of the Lord. And at one point I said, Lord, I feel like I could fly. Because what am I doing? I'm declaring the greatness of him. And the greatness of him was being awakened in me because he's in me. Okay? So what you focus on will bring revelation to you, good or bad. Okay? The thoughts that you think on. And so at that moment, as I'm praising him for his greatness, I get that, Lord, I think I could leap over a mountain. I mean, not that I need to, Lord, but that's what I feel like. And I talk to the Lord out loud. And so that's what I was doing. I was probably this louder, you know, in my home. And oh, it was, you know, the great I am, the great I am. And I'm, you know, to read something to you here, scripture. Psalm 18:28, for you will light my lamp. And he lit my lamp that morning. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. And that's what he's wanting to do. For by you, I can run against a troop. By my God, I can leap over a wall. And that's what I felt that morning as I was enlightened to the greatness of him. I came up to another revelation of the greatness of him. That I could fly if I needed to fly. I was enlightened that morning. It changed me forever. Now, this is what God said in the midst. God, I think I could fly. I feel like I could run, leap over a mountain. The Lord said to me, Ina, you've let the greatness of me be diminished in your life. I used to be the, this is what he said, I used to be the big G in your life, and now I'm the little G. Not God, but the greatness. You've allowed your circumstances in your life with your son. We've had a son that's been a prodigal years and years and years and years. A lot of hard things you walk through, you know. We all do. We're in life, right? And you've allowed those circumstances to diminish the greatness of me. Now, I still loved him. But I had allowed the circumstances to downsize the greatness of my God. And the drugs and all the things that people would say, oh, you know, he's into that. Oh, they just, they're almost never come out of that. You know, they die generally. Or they're so changed and altered, you know. Even Christians would say that to me. And initially I was like, well, God's greater than that. God's greater than that. But I'd gotten to a place to where I trusted God. It wasn't that I didn't trust him, but I got to a place, well, maybe he won't be set free. Maybe he won't. But I'm going to trust you anyways. I'm going to love you anyways. That's where I was. But God was saying, but in the midst of that, you let your circumstances diminish the greatness of me in your mind. And see, Satan's always trying to dethrone God, and he can't do it physically, so he does it in our minds. So the circumstances are up here. I shared a little bit of this last week, and he's down here. He will not work that way. He will not work that way. And we wonder why we don't get answered prayers. So the Lord brought that revelation to me, and I repented. Oh, God, forgive me. I wasn't even aware that I had done that. And he said to me, since when do circumstances have anything to do with the greatness of me? I am great because I say that I am. He is who he is because he says that he is. It doesn't matter what's going on in our life. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world or what's going to go on in the world. He is who he says he is. And my place is to believe it, to stay in that place. Now, how would you like me? I'm a leader. We're all leaders. But how would you like me to pray for you with my little G, great mentality of God? How much do you think that's going to be answered? God, forgive me. And see, you know, he held me accountable. You know, I know that God loves me. Because I'm always being chastised and disciplined, and I need it. But I know that he loves me. You know what I mean? It's like, God, thank you. Thank you that my heart's not too hard, that I don't hear your discipline, that I don't hear your chastisement. And so he brought me up higher in an instant, just with coming into agreement with what he was saying that morning, singing over me, and I took the time to do that. Call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. Now, I was going to preach here several years ago when Dr. Janet was in Africa. She went with my apostle of my house, Apostle Ron Rayon. She had invited him to go, and Apostle Wanda Jackson. And I'm not sure how many years ago that was, but it was several years ago. If I'd have looked probably in the scripture, I probably would have wrote down the date. And I was supposed to come and minister. But I was in the hospital instead prior to that, so I couldn't. But when I was going to come here that day, what I was going to preach on was the great I am, and I was going to share that testimony. So this is the first time you've heard that testimony from me. So the second testimony, of what happened, why I couldn't come preach that morning. I'd gone to bed, woke up in the middle of the night. 2 weeks before that, I had fallen down basement steps, concrete basement step, and had sprained my ankle badly. It was a level 4 sprain. I was on crutches, a lot of pain with it. Thought I was doing a little bit better. But 2 weeks later, because it was 2 weeks exactly, got up in the middle of the night, swung my legs off the bed. We have a high bed. I have to step up on a little thing to get and up to it. And when I did, I had excruciating pain that shot up that leg. But I waited a few minutes, and I went, I got up to go to the bathroom. And when I went to the bathroom and, sat down to use the bathroom, I immediately became drenched in sweat. I became soaked instantly. And I got very, very dizzy, and I thought I was going to pass out. I didn't have pain then, but I got real dizzy and drenched. And I'm being detail-oriented on this because I want you to understand what God did, okay, for me. And I yelled to my husband, which is a miracle that he could even hear me because he's a sound sleeper. And but when I went to yell to him, I think I'm going to pass out, or I don't even remember what I said to him. He did hear me. But my speech was all slurred. And it was like, okay, Steve immediately, came in. What's going, why is your speech like that? What's going on? I could hardly talk. And when I did, it was all slurred. And long story short, we went to the hospital and Southfield Memorial. And my background is nursing, okay? And so, but I remember riding in the car and was laying in the back seat, and I said to the Lord, Lord, I'm not afraid. If it's my time, I'm not afraid. And but I know that there's prophetic words spoken over me that wouldn't indicate that I'm not to continue, on here. And the Lord said, it's not your time. The enemy is trying to do something that he cannot do. And so I went in, and Southfield Memorial was full. St. Joe Hospital was full. All the hospitals were full during that time. I think it was in March. No, it was April, because it was on our son, our prodigal son. It was on his birthday. It was April 20th. The enemy really would love to take me out, and I won't go into the details, but my son was in prison at that time because of the drugs and so forth. And the enemy trying to, how would you like my son to have to live with that the rest of his life? Okay. The devil is a liar. Boy, he's a liar. And you are a defeated foe. Boy, are you a defeated foe. And so, I went in and they checked me at the emergency room where they thought I was going to have having a stroke. They kept me there. They said, we're not sending her on to another hospital that was supposed to take their overflow. We're keeping her here. So I had excellent care. They kept me in emergency room, all that night, rest of the day until that following night, and then they finally put me up on a floor. So I had excellent one-on-one care. But they thought all the indications were I was having a stroke. And I had weakness in the left side of my body, and so my speech was all slurred. And so rushed and did a CAT scan because a stroke can either be from a bleed on the brain or it can be from a clot, okay? They want to do a CAT scan because if it's a bleed, they don't give you the clot-busting medicine, TPA. If it's not a bleed, then they want to give that to you. That's the treatment for stroke. And, time is of the essence. They'll tell you when a stroke happens. And so they called the neurologist, and I'd gone to bed early that night. They had done some reading and fell asleep. And this was about, 2-ish maybe in the morning or whatever. And I prayed, Lord, okay, Lord, when he in the car, I said, Lord, don't let them do anything to me that should not be done. I always pray that. I pray that for people when I'm praying for people who are in the midst of going through things, hospital or whatever. And I'll say, Lord, don't give the doctors wisdom and don't let them, the people wisdom, don't let anything be done to them that shouldn't be done. So I'd already prayed that. And so they wanted to start the TPA on me. And, because they assumed it was a clot because the CAT scan came back showing no bleed on the brain. And I had an experience when I was in the midst of that CAT scan, and it was just like, I felt myself leaving my body, and where the enemy was just trying to take me. But the Lord had already spoke to me. It's not your time. And I mean, I can't hardly speak. And it wasn't that I couldn't think of what to say. It was there, but I couldn't get it out. It was slurred. It was very, you know, broken. It was very, very hard to speak. And the neurologist said, no, we cannot give it to her. She went to bed at such and such time. We've got all these hours that have now passed. We are past or about at the window that the, you know, the good effects of the TPA, you know, the risk of her giving it because of the window of time is too great. And so we're not going to give her the TPA. It's too risky at this point. So then, remember I said, Lord, don't let me have anything that I shouldn't have, okay? And so, anyways, they, you know, just treated, you know, symptoms, that type of thing. And I think I had three to four MRIs, because they were sure I had a stroke, but this MRI didn't show that. But they were sure that I went through all these tests to try to find out where there was, you know, a clot. And I believe God started reversing when he said, Satan's trying to do something. You know, he's trying to do something that he can't do. And that it was all being reversed then. But my speech was still there. I was still very, very, or not there, my, you know, very, very weak. And, but I did get some strength back. I stayed several days. I was supposed to have been preaching that Sunday here. You know, had to get a hold of Apostle Ron, you know, let him know, that let Dr. Janet know that I'm not going to be able to speak Sunday, you know. And, you know, Dr. Janet's response, that's just like the devil. You're one of my top intercessors. We're over here in Africa. And you're in this, you know, look what the enemy's doing. And her mom was put in the hospital at that time, too. Her mom also, she considered a top intercessor for when she was going doing the ministry of the Lord. And so, you know, I get a little bit of strength back. My speech is now sound good. I've got all these appointments set up. The neurologist said, by science, we cannot prove that this is a stroke because, the MRI doesn't show that. But by everything that we see, everything that's been presented, you have had a stroke. They wanted to put me on all these medications and everything. And I was able to go home, which is what I wanted to do, was to get out of there. And I remember I'd already had the word of the Lord that enemy's trying to do something he can't do. So I, you know, went home several days later. And, you know, a little bit stronger. And then the next morning I woke up and it was like I was right back where I was. And I was, you know, talk about being exhausted. It was exhaustion beyond exhaustion. And that was after sleeping that night. My speech was all slurred up again. But I knew I needed to get up that morning. And I knew I needed to go to the Word. I knew that I needed to do that. Not because I'm so, you know, holy. You know what I mean? I just knew by the Spirit that I needed to do that. And so Steve helped me up, and I was sitting on the couch because I knew if I stayed in bed, I would fall asleep. I couldn't do it because I was that weak. I was that exhausted. And that's what I remember, just great weakness. And so I sat on the couch, and I said, you know, I'm gonna sit here, and then I'll go back to bed when I get done. And, you know, Steve said, that's what you need to do. You look horrible. You sound horrible. And that's what you need to do. So I sat there and I said, Lord, I said, you know, help me to stay awake to read your word. I know I need to read your word this morning. And I said to the Lord, I said, I feel so weak. I feel so weak. And this is what I heard. All of a sudden the Lord said, now, see, this is about coming up higher, okay? We always have a pathway to victory, and it's always through God's word. All right? Our pathway to victory is always, has been, will be his word. Satan has a pathway to victory. His pathway is to steal the word. Right? Look up the parable soils. What happens when the word comes? When the word tries to, you know, get sowed, the enemy immediately comes to try to steal the word, whether, you know, with the cares of life, distractions, whatever it may be, circumstances, whatever it may be. So I said, I feel so weak. Help me to stay awake. And the Lord immediately spoke to me, and he says, let the weak say I'm strong. Yeah. Does this word say that? Yeah. Yeah, it does. It's out of Joel 3. Yeah. And I said, yeah. I said, Lord, I said, that's what your word says. And then he quotes to me Galatians 2:20. I'm going to read that to you. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm going to read it again. I have been crucified with Christ. Not I will be, but I have been crucified with Christ. If I'm a born-again believer, I have been crucified with Christ. That's how God sees me. That's how I need to see myself. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, okay, I live by faith in the Son of God. Faith in who? The Word and Him are one. Isn't that what the Word, right? If you say you love God, then you love His Word. You need to know His Word, right? This is my lifeline. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And then He said, Ina, you have a choice. You can live by your flesh, by what your body is telling you. You can live by symptoms. You can live by what man says. Or you can live by faith in my word, by my spirit. You have a choice, Ina. Too many of my people, Ina, live by their flesh. They let their flesh negate my word. You have a choice, Ina. Now, I'm in this place of exhausted, weak, can't speak. I'm on crutches, okay? And I sat there, and I got mad at the devil, and I got up from that couch. And I took my foot, and I slammed it down on the floor, and I said, Satan, you're a liar. You are a liar. You are a liar. How dare you? How dare you? And I went into warfare mode. Now, instantly strength arose within me when I got up, not sitting there and thought about it. Oh, Lord, that's what your word says. But, you know, Lord, I feel really bad right now and I need to go to bed. No, immediately you come into agreement with the word of the Lord. You cast down anything that's not in alignment with God's word. This is how we come up higher. This is how we stand. This is what we live by. He says in his word that he upholds all things by the word of his power. He framed the world by his word. He and his word are one. We have to live by his word. We have to come to a higher level of faith in his word, in the knowledge of him and his word. It's got to get out of our head into our heart. We got to be a people of the word. Amen. Lord, help us. Help us. Enlighten our eyes. And we thank you that that's what you're saying. Come up higher. Yes. You know, his people were sick as much as the world is. We're in financial lack as much as the world is. Why is that? Because we're not working the word. He'll not make us. Ina, you have a choice. You have a choice, Ina. And I got up and I went into that warfare and strength arose within me. And I slammed that foot down, this foot that had been excruciating. And I know I was under the unction of the Spirit. As soon as I got up, as soon as I did my part, God was there by his Spirit to meet me. And I went in warfare mode like I've never gone in before in my life. And for the next probably hour and a half to 2 hours, I warred. I went into the Spirit and I prayed and I marched. And remember, I'm, you know, weak, all this stuff. And then I knew that God said, it's done. And I went into praising him for another couple hours. My speech immediately came back. My strength immediately came back. I never went to bed that day. Never went to bed that day. Hallelujah! 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 His word is truth. It is life. It is the way. It is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword to the dividing of soul and spirit, and joint and marrow. It is the only way. It is the only way that we're going to succeed in these days, in these times, by living his word, not just saying it, believing it, acting upon it. We are the people of the acts of God through his word, by his spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I ask of you to sit with the Lord and ask the Lord, Lord, is there any way that the greatness of you has been diminished in my life because I've allowed circumstances or the lie of the enemy or the pain or the lack of the finances, anything, Lord, in my life where the greatness of you has been diminished in any way, shape, or form. Ask the Lord, sit with him so that can be dealt with first. So that he is here where he is, greater than any circumstance or plan or plot of the enemy. He is the great I am, regardless of what happens in this world. He is still the great I am. He is still the throne. He is still the way, the truth, and the life. He still is your healer, your deliverer, your savior. And he wants to heal your body any way you've come into agreement with the lie of the enemy. Where this is just the way it's going to have to be because it's the way it's always been. And after all, you know, this is what the doctor says. And we adapt. We adapt to it. We're living in the times of signs, wonders, and miracles. And God is saying, dare to believe again. Dare to come up higher. That child that you've been praying for, that husband, that wife, that loved one that you've been praying for. Where there's been no change. You've prayed and you've prayed. Oh, the Lord says, I've heard your prayers. I felt your heart. I've seen your tears. And I ask you to dare to believe again. Dare to believe in me again. Start declaring my word over their life. Start speaking my word. Start living the highway. Oh, because you are my children, says the Lord. Each and every one of you have been called for such a time as this. Each and every one has been called for such a time as this. Oh, you were created in my image, says the Lord. My blood has washed you. My blood has redeemed you. My blood has set you apart. Healing is your portion. Amen. I'm not a God of lack, says the Lord. I own a cattle on 1,000 hills. All the gold is mine. I've got more than enough for you. I've got more than enough for you, says the Lord. Dare to believe. Oh, Father, we bind, we break every limitation of the enemy, Lord God. Anything that's encroached upon our lives, our families' lives, that does not line up with your word. Oh, we bind it, we break its power now in the mighty name of Jesus. We come up higher. We call unto you, Lord God. And we thank you that you are answering us in this day, Lord God. That you're giving us your wisdom. You're giving us your understanding. You're giving us divine strategies. Oh, Father God, give each of us a word to stand again upon for healing, for prosperity, Lord God, for deliverance, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I hear the Lord say, oh, my love for you is everlasting. My love for you is everlasting. And I'm not mad. I'm not mad. I'm not disappointed. But my blessings are there that I've already accomplished for you. I've done everything that is needed for you to have the fullness of me, says the Lord. My healing, my deliverance, my salvation, says the Lord. My all, says the Lord. And when you do not rise up, when you do not take it, says the Lord. When you let those things that I shed my blood for when you've made light of them, when you forgot the benefits that I've given you, says the Lord. Then they just lay there. And so I'm calling you up higher, says the Lord. I give you choice, says the Lord. And I say, whom will you serve? Will you serve me, my word, says the Lord? Or will you continue to serve your flesh and the lies of the enemy? Victory is yours, says the Lord. Victory is yours, says the Lord. Victory is now, says the Lord. Let the sound of my redemption come forth from your voice, says the Lord. Remember who you are, that you are the redeemed of me, says the Lord. By my blood, there is nothing greater than my blood, says the Lord. Get a revelation of the power of my name, of the power of my blood. Come up higher, says the Lord. And then nothing can withstand you, says the Lord, in these days, as you do, says the Lord. Father, we bless you. We bless you, Father. We bless you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I'm going to read this last word to you, and then we're going to close. This is the word of the Lord the Lord gave me for in January for 2021. So, the word of the Lord for the new year, for the new era, for the season and the time that we're in, and I wanted to share that with you. I hear the Spirit of the Lord say, I'm doing a new thing. I'm bringing the past, present, and future into a convergence for such a time as this. I am fulfilling my purposes, my intent upon this earth at this time. There is no plot or plan of man. There is no darkness or demon of hell that can stop or alter my word from fulfillment, for which I have purpose from the dawning of time, says the Lord. Do you believe that? A convergence of my glory, of my spirit, of my power, aligning in this hour for my church. My ecclesia is arising in this hour in my stead. To do my will, says the Lord. These days are the finest hours of my church, for my kingdom, for my glory, says the Lord. It will not be by man's might or power, but by and through my spirit, says the Lord. We have to stay connected. We have to walk in the Spirit. We have to be a people that realize that we're in this flesh, but we have a spirit. And that flesh needs to be continually crucified and laid on the altar and let the Spirit rise up within us and teach us and lead us and guide us into all truth. Yes, deep darkness is encroaching upon this earth, but my light is rising up in this hour from within my people, and it will light this world on fire for my glory, says the Lord. A vast harvest for my kingdom will be the fruit of this vast army that is arising in these days, who march in time and synchronization with my heartbeat, says the Lord. For they are a people whose ears have been fine-tuned to my voice and the sound of my kingdom, whose hearts have been purified and circumcised for these end times. This is how God sees you. Whose hands have been made ready for war, as they have offered themselves up to me and surrendered themselves up for my glory. My kingdom, says the Lord. Oh, do you hear? Do you hear the battle cry stirring from within you? Father, I ask that each one will be able to hear the lion of the roar of Judah from within them. That battle cry arising within them. Stir each of their spirits, Lord God, as never before, Lord. The life of me arising, the roar of the lion of Judah coming forth to silence the enemy and to boast only in me, in my name, says the Lord. The river of life is flowing once again in those who have allowed the purification to take place within them, to remove the putrid and the unclean from the stagnation of my spirit. But once again, have allowed my well of life to spring up within them, to arise within them, to cleanse, to heal, so that they can go forth representing me. You know, if the great I am is down here because I've diminished the greatness of him, if I'm not in the place of being full on board with what he's doing. You know, if I don't know what he's doing because I won't come up higher, how come, what do I got to offer out in the world? We have to be equipped so we can go out and equip others. We can't give what we've not received, and we can't give what we've not been given. Thank you, Lord. Okay, so I need to read that last part. Lost my place here. Thank you, Lord. They're to go forth representing me to those that they will encounter in my name, representing my salvation, my healing, my deliverance. For this end time, harvest. And for my brides to make themselves ready without spot or blemish for their bridegroom king, saith the Lord. You know, Tuesday night we were at prayer at our church, and I was praying in the spirit, and I heard the Lord say all of a sudden, what if my brides cannot hear, if they cannot see what I, their bridegroom, are doing, then how can they make themselves ready? And we are in that place. We're in those end times, the end of the age, that we are to make ourselves ready. So, Father, I thank you. We're closing now. Father, I thank you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, for your words to us today, Lord God. Your word is words of life, Lord God. Father, we thank you, Father God, that you're doing a work in each of us, Lord God. That, Father God, each of us understand and see that you are calling to us. And as we call to you, that you'll answer and that you'll bring us up higher, Lord God. And Father, you know that each of us, what each of us need. And Father God, we just present ourselves, Father God, and we say, have your way. Have your way, Lord. We yield ourselves to you, to your spirit, Lord. And we thank you, Father God, that we have the promise, Lord God, that you will do what you have said. We bless you. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. If any of you need prayer for agreement, for healing, for deliverance, for whatever it may be, please, I know there'll be prayer people that'll come up, but I'm willing to pray with anyone as well. So bless you and thank you for letting me take a few more minutes here of time. Thank you. Bless you.